Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
And Matthew will be the main text that we preach from this morning. The passage I've preached from hundreds of times. It is a favorite of mine. Matthew chapter 2. I'm going to read from the New King James this morning, a powerful message that I have entitled, When the Light is Revealed. When the Light is Revealed. If you're ready, say, let's go. All right, stand up on your feet. Matthew chapter 2, if you're able. If you're not able to, I understand. If you don't want to stand up, that's okay. I'd encourage you to stand up on the inside. It's just in honor of God's word. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 2, New King James Version, 12 verses of scripture. Let's read the word. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men. What kind of men? Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. When you found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also. Verse 9. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, move in power right now as I preach your word. Holy Spirit, come upon me, anoint these lips of clay, give us all ears to hear and a heart to respond what you would say to your church, what you would say to your bride, what you would say to us here at Kings, not only here, but around the world, all the churches in India that are online, all those that are listening in the Philippines, all those by way of podcast that perhaps will listen in the future. Touch and change us, I pray, for the glory of God. Would you lay hands on your own heart? Come on, ask God to speak to you right now. Speak to us. Give us living understanding. If you have freedom to pray in your heavenly language, go ahead. And we thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, Merry Christmas. I saw a reel that just made me laugh. Anybody know what a reel is? Okay, I saw a reel where people are offended at those who say Merry Christmas. And he said, you know, it can go either way. You say Merry Christmas, people can be offended, or Merry Christmas, people can be happy. He said, I've just changed how I do it altogether, said this one particular comedian. I just say, may the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one and only true God, give you joy during this Christmas time as you believe on him. It just went on and on and on. Jesus is the reason for the season. Come on, somebody say, Jesus is the reason for the season. An introduction, Christmas is not about sentimentality or tradition, although we have those things. My wife and I are sentimental about many things. And I don't think that's wrong. You shouldn't worship them, but it's far more than that. No, it really is a revelation. The message of Christmas is that Jesus was born. He wasn't born on December 25th either. Most scholars believe he's born in the springtime. So Why do we celebrate it at Christmas? Well, that's a whole nother message in itself. And so I'm not going to get into all of that, but it is a time that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And this text is so profound. As I've been traveling, really, around the world, I've been around the world in the past few months, more travel than I would desire in my flesh, although I enjoy travel. There's nothing quite like seeing what God's doing around the world. And I've been in South America. God's pouring out his spirit in South America. I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was over in the Middle East, and we were in Europe. And God's pouring out his spirit all over the world. I've shared before, but America is going through what I believe is the beginning of an awakening. I've certainly been praying for it, contending for it. 33 million more Americans between 2021 and 2024. 2021 and 2024, 33 million more Americans. I got it. 33 million more Americans are serving God during that period of time. The graph seemed to be like going down. The growth of Christianity is just going straight up in America. Millennials are sick of digital alienation. Shoot, I'm sick of some of that digital alienation as well. And America's turning to God. I believe that. I believe the nations are turning to God. Every one of the Gospels, now the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. Every one of them has a theme. All of them have a theme. Matthew, which we're reading from, the theme is Jesus is king, or the Messiah is king. In Mark, it's the suffering servant. In Luke, it's the Savior of the world. The Son of Man is the Savior of the world. And John is the Word, or the eternal God, Jesus. Matthew's writing here, to just give you some background, he's a former tax collector. He was a sinner, and he got born again. He got saved. He received Jesus, became a disciple, and he's deliberate and he's precise about talking about these magi or these wise men. It's not told in any other gospel. It's only in Matthew's gospel, and it lines up with this theme as Jesus is king. Say it with me, Jesus is king. And his birth was really the most anticipated event. His birth was an anticipated event around the world. Christmas is the most celebrated holiday in the whole world. Christmas is all around the world. And so at the birth of Christ, all around the world, people were anticipating that. And there are many scholars that cite sources and Roman historians that declare that there was this Messiah, there was this Savior, so much so that Caesar Augustus changed his title to Lord and Savior to preempt any king that would try to rise. Oh, it's kind of interesting. These wise men are most likely disciples of Daniel. If you go to Daniel, you don't need to. I'm going to study it later. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 to 27 points, excuse me, fighting a little bit of a cold, points to the timing of the arrival of the Messiah, Daniel chapter 9. And so when we look at these magi, they are men that come from the East. They're most likely disciples of Daniel, magi or wise men. They were an elite group of people. They were educated. They were astronomers. They were those who provided counsel to the king. They're most likely very wealthy. Certainly by their gifts, we can see that. And so God communicated to them through the scriptures. They say that. And also through this sign and a wonder of star, that the Messiah, that the king was going to be born. And so they traveled to Jerusalem. And what's interesting, I don't think I've ever heard this preached, but the star, apparently, if you look at the whole text, had disappeared. It appeared for a season, and now it's gone. We said, how do you know that? A number of different ways. One, they go to Jerusalem, and why would they talk to the king or ask anybody where the Messiah is if the star was still guiding them? So it seems that the star, everybody say it seems that. It seems that the star had, you know, maybe it was cloudy. I mean, I don't know. But later in verse 9, the star reappeared, and they have this great joy, and the star guides them as they're on their way to Bethlehem, having received the the wisdom of the scribes and the Pharisees. But it's interesting to me. Why would God do that? It's not in your notes. It's just a separate thought I was having as I was driving on the way here this morning. Why would they do that? I mean, God sets this whole thing up to reveal who Herod is, to reveal the scribes, and to reveal to us the heart of these magi or these wise men. When the light comes, exposes the heart. I was witnessing to somebody at the gym yesterday, shock, shock. And I got to talking to someone about the Lord. And boy, it sure brustled some feathers. And it wasn't very happy about what I was sharing. He said, as long as you're good, as long as you're good, as long as you believe. I said, well, that's not true, actually. Well, yeah, well, that's what I believe. I said, yeah, but why do you believe it? You know, I can be really irritating. Anybody else? But here's the thing. If you don't confront stuff, I don't know where I heard this again this past week. That which you listen to, you're really responsible many times. I have an obligation for truth, and I try to be as sweet and kind, put as much sugar and honey and butter up on top of gravy. Come on, how many of you like smothered things? I try to put some gravy up on that to just make it, I don't want to be a jerk, but at the same time, the truth offends. It's not as long as you believe. It's not as long as you believe. It's what you believe. And this guy quoted Hebrews chapter 11, faith is confident assurance of what you cannot see, evidence of things hoped for. So this is what I hope, and that's my faith. I said, it's your faith, but if your faith is in something that's inaccurate, you've got a problem. You can have faith the ice isn't going to break as much as you want. The truth is, how many of you ever driven your truck on the ice? I couldn't wait to do that when I first got here. And I got this Dodge Cummins truck. I get a great deal on it. I just couldn't wait that winter till it froze enough for me to drive my, truck on the ice. And boy, did I drive. Pastor Karen didn't come with me. I don't know why she didn't do that. But I double checked with, ice driving truck people. Is it thick enough yet? Not yet. I'm like, okay, you let me know. Not yet, not yet, not yet. And then finally, I started seeing trucks out there and people ice fishing everywhere. I thought, how about now? They'll go, yeah, it's thick enough now. And so I took their word for it. I had faith in what they told me. I'm so glad they weren't trying to kill their pastor. And I drove out on the ice and just did all kinds of crazy drifts and put a little GoPro up there and recorded it. You can have faith that the ice is not thick enough. It is thick enough to carry your truck, but if you're wrong, you're going to break through the ice. So you can have faith in whatever you think is right, and if it's not right, listen, we have faith in God's word. This is what faith is based on. It's not, I said to the young man, I said, it's your authority. What is your ultimate authority? Are you the ultimate authority? Because if you're the ultimate authority, there's a problem. Because you have a finite mind, and we can be wrong. And man is generally, the depravity of man, that's actually doctrine. Man is deprived. It's a condition of sin from the time you're born. You don't have to teach a kid to not share. Mine, right? Now, when the light comes, it exposes the heart. When the light comes, it exposes the heart. Look at Roman numeral 2 with me. And so there's three different responses. Roman numeral 3, A. There's three different responses. Herod's response is a rejection of the light. Well, how do you know that? We were just in Bethlehem not long ago, quite a trip. And in Bethlehem, they have what's called the Grave of the Innocents. Now, it's not been backed by archaeological evidence, but it is backed by history, and it certainly matches the psychopathic tendencies of Herod. Herod was a loon. How many of you know what a loon is? Herod was crazy. Come on, somebody say he was crazy. Herod killed his son because he thought he was going to try to take the kingdom. He killed his first wife because he thought that she was in cahoots. He did crazy things. He was a super control freak, Herod. And so there's what's called the Grave of the Innocents, because later on, if you read, you see what Herod did. When the magi, the wise men, When they go back another way and they don't go back to Herod, he's like, because he knew when the star had first appeared, it was 2 years. So what does he do? He releases a genocide on all the little boys in Bethlehem. Now that Bethlehem is about 300 to 400 people at this time in history. It's not thousands like it is now. And you go there, you can see the shepherd fields, and perhaps I'll preach on that upcoming. You can see the shepherd's fields. You can see this town, and he sent his soldiers and killed these little babies. But God led Joseph and Mary through a dream to leave Bethlehem to go to Egypt, fulfilling the prophetic word, just over 300 prophetic words that speak about Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. There's 300 of them that come to fulfillment through his birth and his life and his death and resurrection. 300. Texas is a pretty large state, not as large as Alaska. When we want a small omelet in Alaska, we say I'd like a Texas-sized omelet. But for illustration's sake, if you took a silver dollar and you put a little mark on it, like, you know, you put a little red dot on it or something, and you threw it into the state of Texas that is covered up to your knee high in silver dollars throughout the whole state of Texas, and you went in on the first time and you picked out, like a needle in a haystack, you picked out that silver dollar that had a mark on it, those are statistically, and there's numbers, actually, they've done statistic numbers. I'm not very good at math or English. I'm good at other things. Statistically, those are the odds that you would pick out a quarter on the very first time. Statistically, what it would be for the fulfillment of all of the prophecy in the Old Testament to come to pass in the New. It is amazing. So Herod sees them coming. The light shines. Can you imagine what it would be like? Let's say three wise, how many of you know the three wise men? There's three blind mice, but there's not three wise men. They gave three gifts. There could have been 20. We don't know how many there are, but it was enough to get the attention of all of Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem is troubled. I mean, they come in. Come on, we don't know who's coming into town right now, do we? I mean, people are driving into town as we speak. 77,000 cars a day driving past our front of our church. Glory to God. But if you had a massive entourage, cart after cart or vehicle after, if the president's motorcade came through, okay, the president's motorcade, you would see it. You'd see it coming across the flats. You would see all the black SUVs and the military and the motorcycles or whatever you would, you know, whatever have you. Do you understand? So when the Magi, when the wise men come, they come with a whole entourage. They had been on a 2-year trip. Now you read into this a little bit. Were they actually going for 2 years? I don't know. It says 2 years. They saw the star. It's 2 years. They're traveling from Babylon, from Persia. Their wise men are from Persia, the same place as Daniel. And when they come to the end of the city, everybody heard of it. And it was so impressive that it was actually able to get an audience with Herod. And what does Herod do when the light is declared? He's such a control freak that he says, bring back word to me so I can worship him too. He was giving him lip service. He didn't want to worship Jesus. He didn't want to worship God. He wasn't into a new king. He is thinking. He was a control freak. If you have a spirit of control, you'll never have revival. And so many people think, come on, there's Herods listening online. I'm sure not in the congregation this morning. There's people that don't want to give up their control. They want to do things the way they want to do it. They want to act the way they want to act. A lot of people don't want to see God's word as God's word, because if it really is God's word, then you need to change your behavior or you will realize that you'll be suffering the judgment at the end. All of us will stand before the judgment. I've done a careful study and continue to do so the rest of my life. God's word is God's word, and as such, we need to obey it, not out of fear, but really out of reverence and submission. Herod, when the light shined for Herod, he rejected the Lord. He's filled with rejection. He's filled with fear. You know, God's come to give you life and life abundant, life to the full, a blessed life. Come on, somebody say, he's come to give me a blessed life. Yeah, he's come to give you a blessed life, not a life of control and rules and regulations. That's religion. Religion is a stench in the nostrils of God. God doesn't want you just to obey all these little rules so you can obey them. He wants your heart. I got like a couple half amens right there. He wants your heart. Herod rejected the light, rejected that, and is exposed. He's not the only one that has issues. These religious leaders ignored the light. What do you mean they ignored the light? Well, think about that. Here comes these magi. Here come these wise men. They come, the entourage. They're before King Herod. And Herod calls the religious leaders to come out and tell them, where is the Messiah to be born? And rightly so, they quote the prophet that out of Bethlehem. They quote him, where the Messiah is going to be born. It's really kind of amazing. Keep in mind that these religious leaders' entire life, now think about your entire life. Their whole life was about studying the scriptures and praying for the Messiah to come. That's what their whole life was about. And teaching people to obey the law. And every bit of their life was about that. And so now they get called by the king. And the king invites them and says, now where is the Messiah to be born? And there with the king is this whole entourage and all these people. And they say, oh yeah, the king's to be born in Bethlehem. What are these guys doing here? Now they followed some star. The star, I saw the star, I saw. Do you need anything else? No, that's it. Thank you. I'm going to go back to studying and praying for the Messiah. What kind of brain damage is that? They were indifferent. There are people that are indifferent about the truth. There are people that can, I mean, you can prove Jesus is the Messiah. You can prove the Christ. You can even show your life, which is the greatest testimony, that your life is transformed when you receive Jesus. You're no longer the jerk you used to be. You get delivered, you get saved, you get healed. And it's amazing how people get so upset. I've seen families when someone who is like the black sheep of the family gets born again. And man, the family gets all bowed up, bent up. They're all upset. Can't believe you're going to that church. Heard again. They weren't all upset when you were drinking a fifth of Jack Daniels every Saturday night. But now, you're in a prayer meeting. Now you're coming to church and they're like, man, I don't think this is very good for you. There are religious people that just won't have an encounter with God. Perhaps even here right now, you can study the word, but you don't let it go deep. Or you allow strongholds to remain. What does that mean? A stronghold, a mindset, a place of thinking that's contrary to truth. I was talking to somebody recently, and they were telling me how they began to confront some of the bondages in their life. Now, they've been saved for years, saved. They received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, repented of their sin. They're born again. They're living for God. They don't want to sin. And if you want to sin, you probably aren't born again. You probably aren't saved. If you want to, you just don't care, and you're probably not born again. Once you get saved, he takes out the heart of stone. He puts it, listen, you need a Savior. You don't need a rule book. Thank God for the rule book, but you need a Savior. And so they began to realize that in their life, they have issues. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you have issues, but that's like every one of us. Welcome to humanity. Religion can be a substitute for reality, and I've seen people hide behind religion. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. I'm glad you're here. Don't get offended at me. The wind's blowing. You could have done anything but come here. You could have watched online. And if you're online, God bless you, you know. Real Christianity becomes more like Christ. That every encounter, as you read the word, you get changed. And you move forward. You confront the lies. And you begin to live a life that's separated unto God. And it's this process called, anybody know what it's called? Sanctification is what the process is called. It's daily reckoning the death and resurrection of Jesus in your life, and then you live that way, not to earn his love, but because you already have it. I said a lot right there. I'm going to say it again. Not to earn his love, but because you already have it.
So you don't want to be a Herod. You don't want to reject him. You don't want to be a religious person indifferent to your bondage, indifferent to the truth, indifferent to the mandate to become more like Christ. Even as John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's the story for all of us. And these religious people, they were blind. Are you? You know, when you're religiously blind, it's sometimes hard to know. If you're irritated right now and you just can't wait till I shut up and move on to the next point, you might be bound. Lift your hands to Jesus and say, oh my. Oh. You know, the thing about deception is when you're deceived, you don't know it. Hence the meaning of the word deception. You say, are you in deception? Not that I know of. And I've built my life and will continue to have people around me and study God's word. I was rebuked just recently. Anybody been rebuked recently? If you haven't been corrected recently, you might question your relationship with the Lord, because he constantly corrects and instructs. Not feeling the love, I'm going to go back here. Amen. The light has come. Merry Christmas, 2025. Hallelujah, Lord. The third group here who we want to be like is the Magi. The Magi embrace the light. Their whole life was dedicated to it, really. And they challenge us. They were dedicated. Everybody say they were dedicated. I mean, think about all the planning. I saw a star 2 years earlier. They had to prepare for the long journey. They had to take finances and resources. They had to leave their responsibilities back in Babylon, back in Persia with whoever. They were dedicated to go and worship the King of Kings, cross deserts, encountered danger, certainly a dangerous trip, invested time, invested money, not even for like a week of revival, one day. One moment. The whole thing was a worship service, and they had this one moment where they got to meet Jesus. And I hate to, you know, destroy the warm fuzzies we have about the nativity sets that we have, but Jesus was not a little baby. He was most likely 2 years old. Western Christianity has a tendency to not be very dedicated. You know, I was so encouraged. I know many people couldn't make it last week, and the wind's blowing, but not nearly like what it was last weekend. And I was so encouraged to see people show up. It was half the attendance that we usually are, and we're down significantly, no doubt, because of the storm. And I understand perhaps you're elderly, and you don't feel safe to drive, and I wouldn't want you to endanger yourself in any way. But there's something about Alaskans. There's something about a grit and a dedication that Alaskans have. Otherwise, we wouldn't have built this building. God built this building through you and me, through us. It's a miracle. It wouldn't exist. Laughed out by people that know 10 times as much as I do in building realm and finance and all that. But God honors faith. And there was a dedication that it took to build this. There's a dedication to God that the Western church kind of doesn't have. Not here, I'm dedicated. I'm glad you are. You know, I had somebody say to me recently, Pastor, when are we going to finish the building? Listen, I'm glad we're moving. I'm glad we're living it. I'm glad we're in it. I'm glad we're in it right now. I'm glad the heat's on. I'm glad we have carpet. I'm glad you're not sitting on a chicken coop, a chicken crate or whatever, or a milk box. There are things that need to be finished. Nobody planned to build a building during COVID or the earthquake or the windstorm. The enemy did not want us to do the building. We started out with a project that was going to cost us $13 million and end up with one that was more like $30. Good news. What good news is that? We only owe $21, just under. It's worth $45 million. I got to just take a moment while I have some time here. I had somebody lighting me up on Facebook, which I don't really read a lot because I don't have time for all that criticism with people that are just going to sit home and ride the couch of their criticism, never do anything for Jesus. You have something to share that concerns you in the church, I'm going to open book. You're here. You're part of it. Please come and share. And maybe there's things I don't know about. I don't know. But I had somebody criticize us and say, I can't believe they built that building for $5 million. I was like, oh, I got to say something now. I was like, that would have been awesome. Try 30. Pastor Daniel Bracken. Bam. I never went back to look, but I don't know. It was when the front needs to be, you know, our water project. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I didn't say anything yet. You have my slide. You have my little, you wave. Put this up. We got our permanent occupancy. Come on, somebody. Permanent occupancy. We don't have it. You ought to stand up and shout or something. It's taken us 10 years to get it. Yay, hallelujah. All right. That's a big deal. I sure have learned a lot in the building project process, and perhaps we'll build another building for the school. We're all in prayer about that because we're not going to fit in this building after a while. There's dedication that was required. They were dedicated to do their part. And so we'll finish the trim because we're dedicated, and we're here because we're dedicated. You know, this building's used 7 days a week. How many of you know that? Sitting next to an architect on an airplane, Dr. Morocco, talking to this man, asked him what he did. He said, I'm an architect. Oh, what kind of architect? I design buildings that people only use once a week. You can tell he was kind of bitter about it. Like, what does that mean? Churches. I design churches. That's not the case here. We're using this thing. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll finish the trim. We'll finish all the different things that are around us. And if you have a real burden for that, it might be that God's asking you to be a part of fixing it. Just grateful that we are moving forward. I will say also that we're in the process of refinancing the facility, which is a great blessing. And we couldn't refinance it without that permanent occupancy. And we needed it this past week. And God gave it to us, and for which we're very grateful. Thank you to all those who worked so hard to see that happen. Dedication. Everybody say dedication. It's not a convenience. It's a commitment. Dedication. Not only that, but these wise men, they look at B. They showed reverence. They bowed down and they worshiped. You know, I don't know what it was like. Did anybody grow up going to church? You grew up going to church? So I grew up going to Catholic church. And I'm grateful for that. There was a lot of things that were really like weird. Some of that Mariology is totally weird and pagan and not scriptural. But I got a fear of the Lord. I got that at the Catholic Church. And I was grateful for a lot of things that were right and good. And I was grateful that I grew up believing in God. My parents instilled that in me and God followed through. But I remember acting up in church. Anybody, you ever get in trouble when you act up in church? I acted up in church with my brothers, but it was mostly my brother Chris, I think, that acted up in church. And if you're online, you know I'm telling the truth. My father would take his college ring and turn it backwards and knot you in the back of the head. If you were acting up, you got a little tap in the back of your skull and it just kind of reverberated, and you better pay attention to the first knock. My father was a Marine, is a Marine. Because once you're a Marine, always a Marine, apparently, Semper Fi. Can anybody Marines out there? He's a Marine and a lawyer. So, I mean, he was pretty intense. But I'll tell you, it helped me to have reverence. It gave me the fear of the Lord and the fear of Dad. And I was never physically abused by him, and I'm grateful for that. And there is physical abuse, and I'm sorry if you've been through that. And I do believe correct a child, instruct a child the way he should go. When he's old, he won't depart from it. So if you don't train your children, you're going to have a prison ministry. Hello? I'm all for prison ministry. I just don't want my kids on the inside for me to minister to them there. So you need to instruct your children. We have ways and to teach you how to do that, parenting toolbox, so on and so forth. They showed a reverence. They bowed down. You know what reverence is? Reverence is an awareness of God's presence and behaving appropriately in that. Now, that doesn't mean you're quiet. I'm going over to this section over here. Reverence doesn't mean you have got your hands folded and you're just all quiet all the time. there can be an explosive joy that hits a congregation. And if you have your hands folded and your head down and you're just suppressing that because you don't want to be embarrassed, that's irreverent. I got like four amens. I'm trying this right. I'm coming to yours, coming to the left side. Reverence is an awareness of God and his presence and his power, and it's worshiping him with all your heart. It's bowing down, but it's not being silent. There's times where he wants you to shout. There's times where he wants you to sing and worship him with all your heart. It's not doing what's comfortable necessarily.
And they bowed down and they opened their treasures. Their treasures is this amazing thing. They were sacrificial. They gave their best, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which they're all prophetic gifts. Worship team, please. They're all prophetic gifts, all of them. Gold, picture of his deity, which is also, I believe, what they used to bring their all-expense-paid vacation to Egypt. Because where God guides, God provides. Provision always follows vision. And if you wait for provision to come and then you do it, you might find that you never get off the starting blocks. God has provided all the way. You know how much money we had to start this project? Zilch. Nada, which is Spanish for none. And then it would come in and different things would take steps of faith and God will provide. It's always been the way it is. One day this building is going to be paid off. Can you say amen? One day all the trim will be finished. Come on, somebody say amen. God provides. God provides. And what they did is they brought gold, represented his deity, frankincense, stipulated in Exodus chapter 30, verse 34 to 36. It was used for the purpose of sacrificial fumigation. It's a picture of incense. It's a picture of prayer. It's a picture of so much. You know, the smells in Israel are so amazing. I walked into some of these churches and I thought, we need to like get some of that and just put it through the whole church. It's the most amazing fragrance. Aren't you glad that we don't have the stench that's in the lobby anymore? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about? Good. If it's your first time here, just forget I even said that. And if you're offended, keep coming to make sure that, try us three or four more times. It's a picture of his life that would be incense. It's a picture of sacrifice. It's a picture of prayer. Myrrh is used for embalming, burial preparation, myrrh. Why would they bring those three gifts? Because they understood the scriptures. That's why. They're not random gifts. They're prophetic gifts to the Messiah, the King of Kings, the one born in Bethlehem, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us. When the light comes and breaks in, don't be like Herod. He's not looking to control you. He's looking to bless you. He comes to give you life and life to the full, not life broken and shattered, although you'll go through things. We're with you as you go off to Seattle. We love you. I'm with you. You need me? I will jump on a plane. All right? I might jump on one anyway. I love you very much. You're part of a church family, and I don't know how people do life without a church family. The Wengers are exceptional and serve and have ever since they got here. We love you so much. You're a great man of God, great woman of God. Man, we're going to miss you. Well, hurry up. Come on back. Be healed. Don't be like Herod. God is not trying to torture you. He's trying to give you life and life to the full. And if you don't yield, you'll end up operating in fear and trying to make your own way, and you'll end up missing out, even maybe missing heaven. Don't be like the religious leaders who just make fig leaves to cover their own nakedness and their shame. Don't do that. Don't be like religious people who study the word but never really internalize and receive the Messiah. They're indifferent. Well, I heard this. I actually heard this just recently. Guy said to me,
He was playing a video game during a worship service that we were attending. He's not listening to the message. So my son asked him, "Hey, why are you doing that right now?" He said, "Oh, dude, I've been in church my whole life. I've heard every message." That is a terrifying admission of your backsliddenness soon to manifest in sin and brokenness. If you are in a place where like, "Oh, what do you preach on? Same thing, Christmas, you know, Magi, you know, it was all right. Said a couple funny things. I don't know, it was okay. You know, I heard it already. I heard all that already. Yeah. Girlfriend convincing her. Girlfriend convincing her." You've backslidden. You lose your hunger. You lose your yearning for God and his power and his presence, and you become a religious person. You're in some deep kimchi. Kimchi is a Korean food that's really spicy, and you wouldn't want to be in any of it. It's great to eat, not so good to swim in. Now, we want to be like them. We want to be dedicated. Can you say amen? What's the next thing? We want to be like the Magi. Come on, God still has wise men. I don't like wise guy, wise men, wise women. We want to be dedicated. What's number two? Reverent. It's number three, sacrificial. We want to be sacrificial. We want to live with all our hearts before the Lord. Give your best to God. That's what Christmas is all about. The light has come. Come on, someone say, "The light has come." The light has come. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Would you put your hands together for Jesus? Would you lead us in whatever's on your heart right there as I ponder what else the Holy Spirit would have us do this morning?
How beautiful, how marvelous is your name, Jesus.
Why don't you stand up on your feet and sing with us?
How powerful, how excellent is your name, Jesus.
Pastor Karen.
How beautiful, how marvelous is your name, Jesus.
How powerful.
How powerful, how excellent is your name, Jesus.
Before I close this service, would you just examine your own heart, bow your head, close your eyes, take whatever posture you want in examination of your heart. And one more time, where are you? Are you like Herod? Are you letting fear control you? Have you fully surrendered to God, or are you running your own plan? Where are you in your walk? Are you like a religious person, maybe? The prodigal son, older brother, never left. He never left. He did everything right, but his heart was not right before God. The prodigal brother was in deep trouble. Prodigal son, he wasted his father's inheritance on wild living. Then he comes to his senses and he comes back. But the older brother's like, "You never gave me." Oh, and he didn't understand all that he had. He had all of that with his father. It's a picture of heaven. It's a picture of church. And there's people who are religious people that never let the word penetrate. And they continue to allow indifference to control them and to destroy their life. Don't be indifferent. If you've not been convicted lately, I promise you, it's your heart's begun to get cold. Conviction comes to every one of us, not condemnation, conviction, two very different things. Conviction is you feel like you're wrong. You get convicted, you've done wrong, and your heart bothers you. Condemnation points his finger at you and says, "You little dirt bag, you've done wrong." And the conviction is like, "Come on, let that go. Ask me to forgive you." That's conviction. The religious people were just worship God and word. No, we want to be
Like the wise men, we want to worship God with dedication, with reverence, and with sacrifice. It's a perfect opportunity to take an offering right now, but I'm not gonna. You be the offering. You live as a living sacrifice before God. And you make a covenant with God to be in church. It's important. Online church is not the same as being right here. It is absolutely not the same. You come. Be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to love God. Be faithful to read the word. Be faithful to pray. Let's be wise men, not only at the Christmas time, but all year long. Can you say yes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want to give your life to Jesus, one more time, we'll give you an opportunity for that. Give your life to Jesus or recommit your life to him online. Those here under the sound of my voice, if that's you, lift your hand to heaven. You want to be included in this prayer? Thank you. Raise your hand high so I can see it over on this right side. Want to get right with God? Want to recommit? No one on the right side? How about in the middle? Raise your hand. Okay, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Over on the left side. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. I see that hand. See, do I have to raise my hand? No, you don't have to raise your hand. But Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me, I'll deny you. And oftentimes I'll invite you to come up front and we'll pray together. But for today in this first service, just right where you are, pray this prayer with me right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, come on, right out loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you to wash and cleanse me now for everything I've ever done wrong. Come into my heart, come into my life, and help me to live a life of dedication, a life of reverence, and a life of sacrifice, that I would be like a living sacrifice, as it says in Romans 12. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands as a universal sign of surrender.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.